All right, my fellow friends, I think we're streaming live once again here. Another day has been given to us. We're certainly thankful for that, right? We should be, anyways. Each day is a gift, and we have to thank the Maker that we are allowed to be given another opportunity to do what's right and to move forward in our faith. Right? That's what I want to do. Good morning there, Sister Connie. Good to see you on the comment thread. I will assume that Facebook is currently sending off some notifications. Not as many as it should. We are, of course, removed of our privileges because of violating their community standards. But we keep going. And those of you who are encouraged with us, you seek out this kind of content, and that is truly wonderful. Good morning, Amy. Good to have you with us on the comment thread here. We are, of course, streaming live from the Riverview Church of Christ Facebook page. It will also be shared on various other platforms, like our Added to the Church of Christ Acts 2:47 page. My name is Stéphane Maillet, and addedsouls.com is the website you want to check out. If ever you want to get involved with us and partake in the work we are doing over here, it's a good thing. Good morning, Janelle and Sister Anita. It's good to see you guys coming up with us here on the comment thread. This is Podvlog episode 77. Episode 77. It's titled Kids and Cash. Oh, what's that all about, right? Well, we're going to have fun with it. Hey, good morning there, or evening, yeah, for you, that's right. Den Reed Juvera Jr. Good to have you with us on the comment thread as well. Participating with us here with this gospel content, gospel topics. And we want to learn together, right? We want to do what's right. And we want to learn. So that's a good thing. Podvlog episode 77, Kids and Cash. I don't think we talk about that all that much, right? We don't talk about it as much as we should. And we should because we might not see as much of a chaos when it comes to the good stewardship of our finances if we do talk about it more to our children. And then they grow up having a rightly divided or a righteous discernment of Christian stewardship regarding finances, money, whether it be a little bit of money or a big amount of money. If you're smart with a little, you definitely have the opportunity to be smart with a lot. And we don't teach that to our kids as we should, and we see the mess in the community because of it. Kids more interested in purchasing things that have no value in their lives whatsoever at the expense of purchasing things they should, out of necessity, be purchasing. You know, let's buy a materialistic item at the expense of us paying the rent, you know, buying food, buying clothes. First and foremost, giving to God, right? These things are important. They're part of our Christian walk on this earth, and our children are certainly going to see the example of the parent, whether it be just mom or just dad or mom and dad, or whoever, aunts and uncles and grandparents, whoever is at the care of the child. They're going to see that example and follow suit most times, in a general sense, follow suit in utilizing any finance they accumulate, either in a righteous way for the right reasons or an unrighteous way, according to the world's design, if you will, right? Yeah, all that good stuff. So it's important we talk about it, and we certainly can go to the scriptures for principle on all of that. The scriptures certainly teach us to be good stewards of our money. because it's only our money because God allowed us to have that money. So all things in its purest form belong to God. These are tools we utilize for the further growth of the kingdom. And God, through that, gives us the blessing of being fed, being nourished, having a roof over our heads, having clothes to wear. And it may not be the most expensive, luxurious food, shelter, and clothing, but if we are content in God's provision, we will find ourselves very blessed with what we have, right? Right. Our kids need to know that. Our children, at a very young age, you'd be surprised. At a very young age, these little sponges walking around in the house, they are paying attention and they see the interaction and the exchange that mommy and daddy go through in their daily interactions with service providers or the merchants of the community, if you will, you know, buying stuff, going to the grocery store, going to the bank, going for a haircut, going to the doctor, going to all sorts of areas where they see us, you know, from our wallets or purse, take out a card, a plastic card or money, the paper format. Over here now, for us in Canada, it's no longer paper. It's just plastic. It's colorful plastic. Whatever, I think they just wanted to do it that way, and they didn't. And what about coins? Things like that, right? You go to the restaurant, they see us receive the food, and they see us give money, right? And all that kind of stuff. So they pay attention to that. They see it, but they won't know what it's all about or how to properly go about with it if they're not taught. Because if you allow them to be taught money ways according to TV and the commercials or the community, the world, they're going to make a mess of it. They're going to make a major mess of money. And making a major mess of money can be a super stumbling block. I mean, Christians have lost their faith over mismanagement of their finances. That's a fact. That's it. They allow the worries and the debt and the mess they've made with finances corrupt and corrode their faith to the point where they fall from grace. So we're talking about serious stuff here, okay? Now, we should, as Christians, be well-versed with the scriptural principle that teaches us loving money is a bad thing, right? Loving money can be the root of all sorts of evil. And if you look at all the corruption and perversion there is in the world, where does it lead you to? Well, it leads you to some love of money somewhere. It's prostitution, love of money, right? Organized crime, love of money. Why do you think we were doing what we were doing in my past life? It's the love of money. Money brings power. Power makes people do what you want them to do. All of these things, corrupt politicians, our current governing authorities, government, all of that, love of money, love of power that comes with the mighty dollar. So we should be well aware as Christians that the love of money can be very devastating to a community. It can cause a lot of problems. But money in of itself is just the thing we've created for our currency, for our markets, for our it's utilized as a tool that allows us to govern our services and exchanges. Okay, it's not inherently sinful. A $20 bill is a $20 bill. You put it on a table, it ain't gonna do nothing. It's a $20 bill. It's the same principle we'd use with a gun per se. A gun's a gun. If you put a gun on the table and wait until it shoots someone, it ain't going to do it. It takes an individual who may have a wicked heart to take that tool in order to do some harm or to take that tool and do some good, right? Okay, well, the $20 bill operates in the same fashion. Our children need to know that. They need to be weaned in that instruction and that wisdom, that rightly handled, balanced, seasoned approach to currency. Bread, moolah, Cash. Dough. Hmm? Yeah. Paper, paper, paper. TV and all these crazy wacko entertainment industries, you know, Hollywood and the music and all that. I mean, they're going to make kids think that money's, you know, make it rain. They're going to make a mess of things. So we have to take the Bible and teach them properly. Let me just bring you to a path here. A few days ago, you know, I have three kids, right? 12 and the eldest is 12, the youngest is 6, and the middle one's 7. Yeah, is that right? 6, 7, 8, 9, 12. I'm probably wrong with that. Good grief. I've got like this block in my mind. I can't remember their ages. Is that true? I'm a bad daddy. Please forgive me. My wife's probably listening like, yeah, that's right. Or crazy husband of mine. Anyways, so I got three kids, little kids. And, you know, you got to train them into managing their finances properly. Working for a dollar, right? They have chores. They get a dollar a chore. And that might not seem like much, a dollar a chore, but there are many chores. And that accumulates to many dollars. And it's the principle right now they're learning, right? And so they do their chores, and on Monday morning, it's time to come into daddy's office and receive their paycheck, right? And so there's three of them. And I laid down each of them the amount they worked hard for, and I proceed to teach them. Okay, what is the first and foremost thing you do with your paycheck here? And all of them understand and in sync say, we give to God what is God's. That's right. Of our first fruits, we give to God. How much should we give? Well, we must give as we prosper. How much have you prospered this week? They look at the amount, and then they come up with a number and say, this amount. So that's right. That's the right amount. But we should always want to give more as we prosper with more, right? Yes. Okay, good. So from these three checks that I'm giving my children, I take away first and foremost at their understanding what goes to God. Okay, there it is. So what proceeds next? What do we do next? Well, we have to make sure that we eat, that we have shelter, and we have clothing. Okay, well, that's a certain amount, right? Let's do that. Let's take away that amount to make sure that we eat, that we have shelter, and that we have clothing. Okay, so now we've taken care of that. What comes next? Well, we have to pay our taxes, don't we? Yeah, and I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, you're not that mean with the kids, are you? Follow me, okay? Trust me, I know what I'm doing here. So first, we gave to God. Second, we make sure we eat, have clothing and shelter. Third, we're giving to the government. You know, render to Caesar's what belongs to Caesar's. And they're going to tax you. So on your check, you've worked hard for, they're going to take some money from you. If you have good government in power, typically a good, morally upright, conservative government and governing authority, chances are you're paying less in taxes. That's just, it don't matter if you're right or left or conservative or liberal, it don't matter. This is not a matter of that. It's a matter of fact that, historically speaking, if you're under a good conservative government, chances are you're not being as taxed as much. But anyways, so here's the tax. You have to pay the tax. So then we remove the tax from their paychecks, right? Now what's left? What's going on now? Well, I asked them because I've been training them this way. What's next? You know, well, we need to save money. That's right. You always have to put some money aside. You want to put some money aside because you're going to be able to use that, you know? Yeah, okay. Boom, we put some money aside. Now what's left? Well, now you can do what you want with what's left. It's the remaining blessing of, hey, do you want to buy yourself some candy? You know, kind of stuff, right? You wish to buy this, that, and the other. You can use it for whatever you want to. And, you know, if the kids say, well, I'd rather just give it all to God. Well, that's perfect. Good. Well, I want to buy some candy. Okay. Well, I want to buy a game. Well, okay. That's what that's there for. So we kind of go through a path with them that they can understand the stewardship of finances. And that, regardless of where they find themselves in life, and the kind of money they're making in their careers, they're going to utilize that format. Because ultimately, as I'm teaching them, ultimately, the money you make, it belongs to God. You've received it by God's grace. He's allowed you to make it. And then we go into 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. The reason God is allowing you to have money is so as to grow the gospel influence in your community through your local membership at the congregation that Jesus Christ purchased with his own blood, the church that belongs to Christ. The reason you have that money is to be benevolent to your fellow saints who may have need of food, shelter, and clothing. You see, it's to do good with. It don't mean you can't have nice things. It don't mean you can't have a big, nice house with a big, wonderful pool in the back and a nice truck and a nice car. It don't mean you, a boat. It don't mean you can't have these things. It just means proportionately your responsibility towards the instruction of God, you use your money for the greater good of the gospel cause, and for benevolence. And it's important that we always remain humble with that teaching. See, he's not saying the rich man in of himself is a sinner. It's not inherently sinful to be rich, to be wealthy, but the instruction is so that the rich are rich in good works, okay? That they're doing good and being generous, that they are sharing of their money, right? So children need to understand that at a very young age, and they need to know how to interact with individuals of society, to socialize with individuals of society with money. Because to be honest, most individuals, they don't know how to use money. And they make a mess of it, and then they're going to try to manipulate you and fraud you. And that is also another branch of instruction and wisdom we must administer to our children regarding what they purchase and how they purchase. The snake oil salesman, right? You know, or the many business establishments that are only out for their own dime are going to try to twist and turn your thoughts in such a way that you'll be buying things you don't need. If you're an Eskimo, you don't need to buy ice. If you're living way up there in the North Pole, you don't need to buy ice. But if you're not wise with your thoughts and you're not a good steward of your money, there's a salesman that'll come along and have you buying all kinds of ice. Okay? It's just, we have to be wise to that, and our kids need to be wise with that. So when they see mom and dad purchase things or interact with individuals, whether it be purchasing technology or purchasing furniture or a vehicle or a house, anything, they need to see our wisdom of thought. For instance, several weeks or months ago now, I purchased an item. But before I purchased this item, which was for the benefit and joy of the family, and also to use for a good cause, this item I purchased, it was going to be a substantial amount of money. And so I am going to do my research in this item. I'm going to check all the service providers. I'm going to check all the institutions. I'm going to check everywhere I can. I'm going to make my research on this item that I am purchasing. Because when I'm going to purchase it, I want to have it at the best price I can have it, and I want to make sure that this item is what I'm paying for, if you will. All these things. I did so much to the fact that the salesman who was speaking to me said, I've never seen a customer go through so great lengths to find out about this item, you know. Well, because I'm about to invest a lot of money in this item, and I want to make sure I'm purchasing. I want to make an educated purchase, and my children need to see that. So much so that my sources that I utilize to to be educated in this purchase, the salesman wanted those sources so that they themselves as a team could grow in the knowledge of the technology they're selling. So that way, once it's in the house and it's been paid for, there's no regrets. There's no, oh man, I shouldn't have bought that. I paid too much for it, or you know, it's not doing what I want it to do. These things are important. It's things that we need to teach our children about. Let's look at some comments here. Sister Deborah, good to see you. She says, I gave mine an allowance for chores. They had to use their allowance to buy their own stuff. I provided toilet paper, toothpaste, and soap unless they wanted a different kind. They bought their own clothes, deodorant, and such. If they ran out of money, Mama didn't do credit. They learned real quick that pizza wasn't worth it when they needed socks or underwear. That's a very good comment. Very wise. That's true. And that kind of an instruction in the household has all sorts of spiritual wealth, okay? Because it will allow our kids to grow in the secular world and do secular things with a spiritual mind, being wise in stewardship. And again, it goes to the integrity of our children and ourselves as parents, Christians. As Christians, it goes to our integrity and our influence in the community. I mean, it shouldn't be this way, but we all know as a fact, it just is, that the teacher, the Bible teacher, the preacher, the evangelist is under a microscope, he and his family. You know, the membership looks at what he buys and how he buys and what he does, and they all have their own opinions on what he should or should not buy and how he should or should not do these things. So a guy like me will never, of good conscience, be allowed to purchase a Lamborghini or a Cadillac. Okay? I've accepted that with the task and purpose of my calling through the gospel, the scriptures. I mean, I just know that. Is it because I don't like... Well, no, I love Cadillacs. In my past life, I drove Cadillacs. I loved Cadillacs. Those big... I mean, I love Cadillacs. But it's a beautiful car. And I'm using love here in just a opinionated secular sense. It's not in the scriptural, I'm going to sacrifice my life for a Cadillac kind of stuff. Though some do. Well, I've accepted the fact that I'm not going to have a private jet. I'm not going to have a yacht. I'm not going to have all sorts of this, that, and the others, a Lamborghini or a Cadillac. I'm not going to have a mansion to live in. It's just because, it's not because it's sinful in of itself. It's because of the influence and my integrity in the community. How are people going to see that? How are people going to see that, right? So our children need to understand at a young age that you must be moderate with your purchases, and they must be wise, and that with your finances, no matter small or big, and you've heard this before, it's not the amount you make, it's how you use it, right? Well, that's true. I know a lot of people who make a lot of money, and they're more in debt than people who don't make a lot of money at all, but they use it the right way. So they need to understand these things, and they need to understand about debt and credit cards and bank loans and interests, right? All of that stuff they need to learn. Now, they might not know all the elaborate, intricate details of a bank loan at 6 years old, but they do understand you buying something and giving something, and then they see that interaction, and they see them having money because they did their chores, they put the garbage out, they did their beds. Kids and cash is not necessarily a bad thing if we train them the right way with it. Right? I think so. Other comments here. Connie, we need to teach our children that money is just a tool given to use to do good. Amen. Very true indeed. Deborah, our parents' generation began with credit cards. Buy now, pay later. People have forgotten what it's like to wait and save their money for something. Dave Ramsey has a good course for children. I'm sure it would benefit the whole family. Absolutely. And I agree 100%. I mean, we should agree with that. It's true, and it remains true, that we've dumbed down our responsibility with money through these get everything now, pay it all later, but with debt and excessive amounts of interest, you know, interest on it. You know, if you put money on a credit card, you're going to pay like 23% if you're not paying. Now, if you are a responsible individual and you're teaching your kids to be responsible also with their finances, then credit cards is not a problem. We have credit cards. Guess what? There's no money on them. Know why? Because we use it to our advantage. If you put gas with the credit card, if you buy a grocery with the credit card, if you do these things with the credit card, you know what you do? You pay it off immediately afterwards. You're using it to your benefit because you're receiving points. Our credit cards make us money because we're not wasting it. We're not getting in debt with it. I'm not going to go purchase something I don't need to purchase on a credit card and then never be able to pay it back off. That's the mess. I'm not saying that because I'm perfect with money. I've done a great many messes with money in my past life to understand and have gained a bit of wisdom now. The Bible makes you wise. I grew a brain reading the Bible. And lo and behold, once you know it, the Bible teaches you how to be smart with your money too. So our kids need to know that. If you have credit cards, you need to be self-controlled. You can't have the addiction of being a knee-jerk credit card user on everything you have online. Places like Amazon, right? I shop Amazon. It's not inherently sinful to shop on places like Amazon, eBay, stuff like that. But you have to have self-control with a credit card. And you have to know that you can't spend more than you make. My daughter's like, what should I spend my money on? I said, sweetie, never spend your money. What do you mean? Never spend it. Invest it. Well, what's the difference? Spending it, you'll have no return. It's the same as just setting it on fire. But if you invest it, you will have a return. Well, what are things that have an investment? Well, food is an investment if it is, of course, purchased with a contentment that it is for your body and nourishment. So there is an investment. It is nourishing your body. It's doing something good to you. Of course, there can be excesses in that, and we don't want to do that. Again, rightly handled, right? Rightly balanced. So I said, Daddy purchased certain things that have an investment to them. It allows Daddy to share Jesus with people in the community. He's like, oh, wow, yeah, okay. Don't spend your money. Don't waste your money. Don't spend it. Invest it. Invest it in things that go for the greater good of the gospel. Sometimes it's simply an expedient thing, right? An expedient area for Christians to meet. Things like that. Kids need to learn that. Kids need to learn that, and they need to learn it double time because the world's been making a mess and teaching them to make a mess of money. And you'll have a lot of respect. They will have a lot of respect from individuals in their community and from banks and areas where loans are given and such things because they'll see that you have good credit, you have a good name. Of course, the best path in life regarding finances when it comes to purchase is being able to do so cash. That's our motto now. If we can't buy it cash, we don't buy it. However, it is well understood that certain purchases or investments must take a loan. Not every young couple who just got married at, you know, mid-20s or early 20s or whatnot can go ahead and purchase a home. Now, they may have been wise and saved some money to put down on it, which you should do, but chances are you're going to go to the bank as a husband and wife, newlywed, and you've both saved, you know, I don't know, thousands of dollars, but not enough. You're going to borrow some money from the bank, you know, maybe 150, maybe 200 grand. I don't know, whatever. There's nothing inherently sinful with that debt. The scriptures don't teach it inherently sinful to be in debt. It does teach it sinful if you don't pay the debt. So you have to count the cost of those things, right? Are you going to be able to have a mortgage for 20 years, 25 years, paying, I don't know, from $500 to $1,500 a month? Can you do that? That's important. And children who have been taught right regarding money are certainly going to make the right decisions when it comes to those moments. Well, they'll certainly have been given the right training to do so. There are some children who grow up in a house where they are taught good stewardship of money, and then when it comes to their own dime, they make a mess of it, right? It's not a solid fact, but it's a general truth. Generally speaking, if they're taught right regarding money, they'll do right with it. So I think it's something that needs to have a lot more discussion, of course, in the church. Sadly, there are many preachers who are enamored in debt because they're not using their money right. Sometimes it's not of one's, like, one didn't purposely want to be in a financial bind. Okay, we need to talk about the honest side of that too. You know, if you fall ill in one way or another, and perhaps you weren't ready for the medical bills that are coming now, you're going to find yourself in a financial bind. Now, of course, the thought is to be ready for that day prior to it arriving. You know, have insurance. Yeah, insurance is a very crooked business, and they'll rob you blind. But if you're wise again and you shop around and you go for what's right, insurance will help you, right? It's a good thing to have insurance, life insurance, things like that, medical insurance, if it's available for you. If not, you got to plan it out. You got to save your money. You got to be ready for that. So there are those moments. Perhaps unemployment happens, a recession of sorts. You find yourself having no choice but to now live off credit cards to eat food. Those are true in real life moments that come along. You should have a safety net. You should be ready for that day. But if you aren't, then you have to make the proper arrangements regarding your finances when that comes along. And there also needs to be a church effort to help each other when those moments come, right? If a brother or sister in Christ has fallen ill or has been unemployed, but you know them to be good, strong workers, people who are honest in the church, individuals who they want to do what's right, well, then we help them. We help them when we can. You know, this week I got $40. You don't have any? Well, here, I'll give you 20 and we both can eat, you know, kind of stuff. Our children need to know that. Our children need to be raised in a household that utilizes finances for the greater good. And first and foremost is to make sure the community hears the good news of Jesus Christ freely. But you know it as well as I do. Someone has to buy the Bible. Someone has to pay for the light bills to have the lights on. Okay? That don't come free. The gospel message that's in the Bible, that's free. You can have your sins forgiven freely by the blood of Jesus Christ. But who bought you the Bible? It's just common sense. It's a sense that should have all things in common when it comes to these things. Our children need to learn that. Our children need to learn that. You know, this individual in the church don't have a Bible, I'm going to buy them a Bible. That's more important than me buying a game or an extra bag of chips this weekend or something. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. What do you guys think? Make sense? Connie says, never put more on a credit card than you can pay off when the bill comes in. Absolutely. And you know, you can have that buyer's fever. Oh, I would really like to buy this, and I know I'm having a paycheck at the end of it. I know I could pay back. I could probably... And then you're juggling it, and you're talking about it with your wife, and you're like, yeah, we know we can do it. Don't fall in the trap. Don't fall in that trap. It may seem little immediately. It's just $1,000 on a credit card. I know I can pay it off in the next few months. You know, that's how these businesses get you, right? Zero down. Everything's free today. Take it away. But in 6 months, we want our money. And if you don't have our money in 6 months to a year, we're going to tax you to crazy. We're going to rob you blind, man. Don't get, you know, that's how that happens. Credit cards, it's the same thing. They'll make you think it's your money. It ain't your money. You ain't got no money. You're borrowing from them. And, you know, sometimes owing the mob ain't so bad. They'll break your legs. These credit companies, they'll ruin your life. You won't be able to buy a stick of gum at the corner store if they ruin your life. So don't mess around with them. Don't mess around with that. Be smart with your money. Make sense? I think so. All right. I'm sure there's many other things that could be said, and there are wonderful ministries that you can tap into, some secular, some probably from the Brotherhood, that have seminars and books and videos and studies and all that about how Christians and our kids being raised should use their money the right way. David Ramsey was mentioned. I think that's a wonderful source, many others, I'm sure. So, anyways, I appreciate your kind attention for today's pod vlog, episode 77, Kids and Cash. If you find any value in this kind of content, by all means, share, like, comment, start a watch party. If you'd like to partake in helping this kind of content grow stronger in the mission field, of course, that we are working here on East Coast Canada, reach out to us and have a conversation. Everything is public and transparent. There's nothing more we love to do than to be in fellowship with you, moving forward with the gospel in this community over here. Okay, so as the sign says, once again, stay focused, stay positive. We shall certainly meet again here next time, Lord willing, and God bless.